I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and you come to me for hard facts. The world keeps turning, and you're trying to keep up.
The fight against coronavirus has the option.
But there's so much noise drowning out the news. Talking heads, broadcast messages, press releases. They're telling you their side, but you just want the facts. And that's why you come to me. I give you the statistics without spin. Out of 116 million working age Nigerians, 35.5 million are employed full time. That's 30%. I give you the context.
I give you the history.
I fight fake news with facts.
Kayode.
Let me talk.
No, Kayode, I will let you talk. Kayode. Kayode, I will let you talk if you let me talk. Kayode.
That's why more and more Lagosians are tuning in.
Half a million Lagosians. 720,000.
970,000.
Over 1 million Lagosians say no. That if you give me your afternoon, I will give you hard facts.
Well done, Sandra, all you do, going beyond the headlines
and focus on the facts. I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts.
I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, Lagos. What election data do you need? We are in the information age. Data is life. Data helps you make the best decisions at the polls. Data also helps you see whether your choice is being respected and protected. The days where people can sit in a dark room and cook election results, they should be behind us. But that can only happen if voters get as much real-time information about the entire process as possible. Here's today's big hard fact. During the 2019 election season, 2 million people a month used STIRS election data product. During the 2019 election season, 2 million people a month used STIRS election data product. And in this election, STIRS have updated their product offering. The website is 2023elections.ng, but beyond the product, there's a conversation to be had about, well, what information do voters even need, both for decision-making, for election transparency, all of that stuff. And joining me to have a conversation about that is the Senior Governance Analyst at STIRS, Joaquim Makebong. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Can I say Joaquim or is it Joaquim?
It's Joaquim.
Okay, sorry. I have a lot of Mexican friends.
I know, right? I'm Spanish.
I'm Spanish, yes. So the Jesus. Lagos, we want to hear from you as well. What questions do you have about STIRS and their election portal, their election data portal? What data do you as a voter wish that you had better access to? Joaquim, what motivated STIRS to even do this to begin with? Get into election data.
Yeah, so that's thanks for that question. It's a good one to start. I think that STIRS, so just as at our core, mm-hmm. we are a data company, mm-hmm. and we are always driven toward or driven to things that that can be made sense of using data. Mm-hmm. And secondly, we are all very, just informed of the world around us, and just informed about how certain things play together to bring about the results we see, around us. And so we felt that it's going to be very helpful to put together all of this data in one platform and share with Nigerians so that they can also make the best decisions. That they can, given as much information as they need.
Mm. What did you learn from your first attempt in 2019?
Yeah, so I think the main thing from 2019 was that the 2019 effort was more of focus on desktop. Everybody uses mobile now.
Mm.
So the main lesson is mobile first now.
Mm.
The platform for 2023 is mobile first.
Mm-hmm.
And also we have gone to great lengths to deepen the kind of things that you can do on the platform. You can follow individual races. So for example, if you are from Benue State, but you live in Lagos, you are not happy with how things are going in Benue State. You feel like things could be better. You can follow the Benue State election. So that specific election, it can be governorship election, it can be Senate or House of Reps or anything like that. And then over time, as the elections heat up, we are going to be giving certain updates with regard to many of those specific races as well.
Interesting stuff. Now, I'm curious about something on the side of the political parties and political actors, yeah? How data-driven are their operations?
Yeah,
how much faith in data, how much respect for data do they show?
It's not obvious that really has a big say in the way they run certain things.
Okay.
Because if that were the case, perhaps they would do certain things differently. But they don't. So, you know, it's just a question there of, you know, they are used to doing things a particular way. And I think that perhaps maybe certain changes perhaps that may happen in 2023 may force them to reconsider. I think even historically, the Nigerian political class doesn't really listen to Nigerians. The Nigerian president doesn't really listen to Nigerians. There's a tone deafness there, simply because I'm sure you've heard many times when people, you know, who serve in Aso Rock, they say maybe there's something in the water in Aso Rock, you know, that causes people to go mad when they actually enter there and they serve there and everything. And I think that the main thing or the main reason is just being cut off from reality increasingly. Just that inability to understand what people think about the administration, why people think the way they think, and what people really need at any particular point in time. And I think that we have had a culture in Nigeria basically of ring fencing governors, ring fencing presidents, just basically telling them whatever it is that they want to hear. And when that happens, in order to pierce that bubble, you need something that is more independent. You need things like data, perhaps connected to things like public opinion research, research about issues that matter to the people, and so on and so forth. Rather than that person being captured by one group or the other, it could be a group led by his friends from way back. It could be a group led by the chief of staff or secretary of the government of the federation or whoever. Basically, what you have in for the governors and the president is they are basically captured by a group of people who tell them very specific things that they want to hear, instead of a more independent way of essentially rating not just their performance but what they can do better going forward.
I see. Okay, so you're saying that they don't respect data.
No, they don't, and there's no real evidence to show that right now. That may change in the future, but at this moment, no. No.
I wonder if Lagos agrees with you, because I'm on air every day, and you hear people call in with their permutations, they're permutating this, they're permutating that about how the elections are going to go, who's going to go for who, where's going to swing for where. Well, swing is not something we use quite a bit in Nigeria, but it is that language is beginning to pop up quite a bit with our elections as well. When you look at the data from how people voted in 2011, 2015, 2019. So people are working with numbers such as that, and that is data. So are you saying that the people themselves, citizens like you and I and my listeners who call into Hard Facts, are you saying that, yeah, sure, they believe in the data, they use the data, they have faith in the data, but the political operatives themselves just don't?
They don't, because of the way they tend to operate. So I think that we need to understand something. The 2022 Electoral Act is likely to be a genuine game changer. One of the few genuine game changers that we've had since 1999. And the reason is because when you combine things like the bimodal voter accreditation system with the electronic transmission of results, transmission, not collation now, because collation is still manual, is a transmission that is
electronic,
not electronic.
Yeah.
When you combine both, you are likely to have a scenario where 2023 is perhaps the cleanest election in Nigerian history so far. And what normally happens previously is that the candidates or whoever, they team up with, you know, local politicians who are able to have a say over, you know, certain results. They are able to tamper with resource sheets at what coalition level and so on. But now, much of that is off the table.
Mm-hmm.
That is why if you listen to or if you follow certain political happenings, mm-hmm. particularly on underground, mm-hmm. you see that gradually the goalpost is moving to vote buying.
Mm.
Because anything that doesn't happen at that polling unit
can't happen.
That at that moment, it's very difficult. It's very difficult.
It's not impossible, but difficult.
It's not impossible, but it's very difficult. And not just vote buying. You need to buy votes at a particular time of the day. If you don't get your distribution, as it were,
mm-hmm.
out by 10, 11, 12 noon.
People have voted and gone home.
The game is lost. The game is lost because now, like you said, people don't go and come back anymore. When mm-hmm. they're accredited, they vote, then they go home.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So if it was before, when people can, they just accredited, then you go and come back.
Mm.
You know, perhaps maybe there's some scope for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that anything that you don't really do by 10 a.m., 11 a.m.,
mm-hmm.
12 noon,
mm-hmm.
I think the game is gone. We saw that on the ground. For the Osho elections,
mm-hmm.
people had money to give out, but they
came late.
They didn't distribute it fast enough, and by the time they did, the game was gone completely.
Okay, do you see a future where CSOs, parties, politicians, lobbyists, voter groups, such other actors are ready to invest in election data products that give them a better view of things?
Well, I think that typically what happens is, first of all, there has to be a system where it is obvious that people's votes now count.
Hmm.
So when you have a system prior where people's votes don't really count,
mm-hmm.
what then happens is that you cannot then invest a lot in finding out what people want, because at that level then it's now difficult. You can find out what people want only to find out that, well, the local politicians want something else or someone else, right?
Mm.
And they can rig certain things. And you know, if you've really been following, you see that the scope for some of this rigging has really been going down over time.
Mm-hmm.
They brought in PVCs and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But now they have done a lot of things at the same time that suggests to me that after now, so from now going forward, public opinion, what people really think in mm-hmm. Nigeria is going to be increasingly important, because if you miss it, you are going to miss out.
You know, winning elections is very difficult in Nigeria.
It is.
Especially for people who are not political insiders.
Yes, exactly.
Do you think there's an opportunity for using data to disrupt politics in a way that makes it easier for outsiders to win?
Yes, there is. And I think that the obvious top line figure I can give you right now is that 36% of people of 36% voter turnout in the 2019 presidential elections. In Lagos in 2019, there was only 17% turnout.
Mm.
So what am I saying? I'm saying that if you found a message after speaking to people who are in a state, or if you want to win a state or a senatorial district or whatever,
mm-hmm.
if you found a message that got people out in the required numbers, then it is possible that you are likely to win elections, even though, of course, you will need to part with some money to them of some level.
Mm-hmm.
But if they like you, mm-hmm. they are likely to take less money than your counterpart is offering, right? But they will still need some of that money.
Mm.
Anyway, but the thing is, so let me say now, with 17% turnout in Lagos mm-hmm. in 2019,
mm-hmm.
it means that, let's say, for example, the turnout in Lagos was raised to 40%.
Right.
And there was one candidate that took most of that 40%.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
It then means that the winner of the Lagos State governorship race in 2019 could keep every single person that voted for him in 2019 and still lose the election.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
the meaning.
Mm-hmm.
That's the meaning. So every single soul that voted for someone in Lagos
mm-hmm.
could still vote for him and still lose,
mm-hmm.
simply because of just that jump in turnout. So it is about getting people out
to come
out. But again, you need to find out what exactly moves people.
Mm.
And you are not going to find that out by doing the things you normally do. Simply because, yes, you can give them money, but how much money really can you party, it is very, very expensive.
It
you
is.
Need something else. You need to connect with them. You need a message that resonates with them. You need that feeling of credibility of, okay, he can do what he says he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if you have all of those together, then perhaps you can make some headway. But I think that if you continue to do things the way that has been done, again, not this message has not really sunk in across the political class.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that it's going to sink in now after next year. It will become more obvious to them going forward. But right now, there's still plenty of resistance to it. They still think that, you know, it's still going to be the
it's
same
still
way.
Business as usual.
Which is fine. I don't have a problem with it.
Are the data people over-optimistic? Do you think the data people are overestimating themselves?
No, I don't think so. Because again, working with these things teaches you a lot of like humility, right? If you see the pollsters in the US,
mm-hmm. Oh, they're so humble right now.
Yeah, you know, because they've had a lot of issues, a lot of
Twice.
Challenges with their polling,
mm-hmm.
and so on, people not responding to polls for one reason or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the main things that is really dragging them down, just because the response rates to the polling in the US has really gone down. So it's now harder to now understand precisely what the people want.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of their and that's why so many of their targets are kind of off there.
Mm.
And so they need to find ways around that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Nigerians always want to have their voices heard.
Okay.
And I think that if there's a system around ensuring that people get their voices heard,
mm-hmm.
Instead of perhaps having their political office holders captured by one group or the other,
mm-hmm.
I think that it is going to be something that's going to lead to much better governance, because if you can see the direct link between people's discontent on the ground and then election results, then eventually you're going to have to fix up, otherwise you're going to keep losing the election.
Lagos, if you just tuned in, you're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. I have in the studio with me the senior governance analyst at Steers, Joachim Bakebong, is talking to me today about what election data you need. We're having this conversation because, well, Steers just put together an election data product for the 2023 elections. And we're talking about that. We're talking about how data influences elections and could influence Nigeria's election. We want to hear from you, Lagos. What questions do you have about Steers, about their election data portal? What data do you as a voter wish you had better access to? Let's get into a bit more detail about your product, Joachim. Tell us some of the types of data people can find on your website.
So, so straight away, right now with the version one, mm-hmm. we are going to be updating it in the coming weeks and months up mm-hmm. to the election.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, you can follow specific races. Right now, you can also just basically know who the candidates are.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, this version one, the focus of version one is basically to know your candidate.
Okay.
Who the person is, some of his antecedents, and so on and so forth.
Right.
And just basically know who they are. So, I mean, it sounds simple, but it's not something that has ever been done before,
okay.
Particularly on the scale at which we are doing it. So part of the focus in the Nigerian political space is on the presidential elections.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is that Nigerian governors are not just very powerful already, but will get only more so as time goes on, simply because of the fact that there are a lot of constitutional amendments that are coming down the pipeline, and those amendments are going to increasingly give more and more
powers
to the state government. And it means that your state governor, he mattered already, but matters even more now.
Mm.
And that is also important because now, out of 28, 29 governorship races that we have, there'll be 17 new governors in 2023 in the March elections.
Mm-hmm.
So there are now opportunities for states to move forward. There are opportunities for states basically to make some leaps in various things, infrastructure, health, education, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important for people to get clued in and to get locked into just who these people are, what it is they are offering, and so on. And over the next, and it's, yesterday was 100 days. Was it 100 days yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's 99 days now to the February election. And I think that over the next several weeks, we are going to be rolling out various various things that are going to be targeted are just giving people greater context about the candidates that are running at various levels, because those matter so much to the quality of our lives here. Everything is not the president. Everything is not Buhari and so on. I mean, the road closest to your house, if it's bad, that's the local government, so that's the LG's job, right? And then the roads that are supposed to be done by the state government and so on and so forth. If the primary school closest to your house, the government school closest to your house is run down, it is probably owned by the state government, and the state government should do something about that. So all of those things are the kind of things that we need to basically get people to understand, that the races lower down that don't receive as much attention are just as important
as the big races.
As the big race. As the big race.
Lagos, join the conversation. 0700-993-993-993. 0700-993-993-993. For our listeners who are abroad, join us over Skype. Skype is Nigeria Info FM. Women, call us on 01465-7190. I want to come back to a point you made about data collection and the poll tax, etc., etc., in the US, but I'll come to that point after I take a few calls. 99.3, hello. Sorry about that. Call back if you can. Good evening.
Yeah, good evening, Sandra.
Good evening. What's your name, sir?
This is Pastor Ladipo.
Welcome. Go ahead.
I'm calling from Orilejum.
Welcome. Go ahead.
Now, see, when we talk about data collection, I think for me, the government is the one that is even the major problem. Because as it is now, we have international passports, we have driver's license, we have voter's card, we have NIS. Yet, with all this, we can't still understand how many we are. My question to your guests is this: how will these beavers, why will they work in some rural areas where there are no internet services, where there are no electricity? How would they work? Because talking about data, you may get to some of these places now, and those places are most of the places they use to rig elections. There are some cold places in the north that are close to either Niger Republic or Cameroon or whatever. So most of these places are being used. How do we capture them? Thank you, and God bless Nigeria.
Thank you very much, Pastor Ladipo, for calling. We've got less than 2 minutes to address that question. So, Joachim, over to you.
Yeah, okay. So, very quickly, I can do this in 1 minute. So, I think that the coverage for mobile networks, for example, in Nigeria, has gotten a lot better over the last few years. So it reaches more into the hinterlands and so on. As far as the electricity bit of it, I know that INEC has gone to great lengths to ensure that the various polling units have some form of electricity in one way or the other, either from maybe a nearby house or something, or a small generator or something. They are just able to do that. So I think that those things are better now than they used to be. And also, just again, the mobile network coverage is much better. So that is why they were now able to take on board the electronic transmission of results. Also, lastly, for the beavers thing, all the names for a polling unit are locked into the particular device at that polling unit. So if you go somewhere else, you are not going to be captured there. So that's just the answer to that.
Except of course for those who registered twice in a particular polling unit, or children who registered
so
in that particular polling unit, etc.
Yeah, there's been a lot of a backlash about that, rightly so. And I think
hold that thought. Don't forget it. Write it down so you say it when we come back from this break. Lagos, if you just tuned in, I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. This is Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Joachim McEbong from Steers will be here when we come back. Don't go away.
Nigeria Info.
Lagos, I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. What election data do you need? Like I said, we are in the age of information, and so data is life. And I've got a big data man in the studio with me. He's the senior governance analyst at Steers, Joachim McEbong, talking to me about the Steers election data product that just launched that you should be taking a look at. You know, before the break, we were talking about the backlash because of the children who have been enrolled as voters, foreigners who have been enrolled as voters, double registrations that we're seeing, especially in the northern part of Nigeria. And you were saying something about that that I told you to hold on to as we went on that break.
Yeah, I have a wild conspiracy theory about this, but I don't think it's appropriate to share on air.
Mm.
What I do think is, and what I will say on air is this: transparency is always better than more transparency is always better than less transparency.
Mm.
And I think that based off of that, INEC is doing the right thing, just to ensure that people have more confidence in their ability to administer fair and credible elections.
Mm.
And I think that if they are able to act on this feedback now,
mm-hmm.
and are able to act on it and do that properly, then we are going to see people say, oh, okay, so they fixed it, so we are ready to go, that kind of thing. Because there is actually a pretty significant bit of the Electoral Act that focuses just on the objections you can raise after the voter register is published. So there's just a whole section there, and it gives ordinary citizens a fair amount of leeway just to ensure that register is as clean as possible, because we need it, and we need it quite badly. We don't need people who shouldn't be on there to be on there.
Hmm. So I just came back from covering the US midterm elections, and there are lots of shops providing all sorts of electoral and political data. You know, you have the collectors, the aggregators, the analysts, and they all create this ecosystem that end products can tap into for users. But of course, we don't have all of that here. You know, basically, you guys are having to build some of those rails for yourselves. What are some of the challenges when it comes to digitizing and collating all of this data?
Yeah, so so that's a great question, because for our electoral map, mm-hmm. we have the first ever map that shows not just the statewide map, but mm-hmm. also for senatorial districts and House of Reps districts.
Mm.
We are currently doing state House of Assembly districts right now.
Mm.
Right? So we are building whole data sets,
mm-hmm.
just to ensure that we have... Actually, the mission of state elections is to basically collate all of Nigeria's election data.
Mm.
It's going to be a long road. We have
hard road.
But
the data does exist.
So it does. But the thing is, it does, but it's fragmented.
It is.
It's fragmented. It's
not in one place.
It's dirty, and so you need to do a lot of work there just to clean it up, and just to make that fit for presentation to the public.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of those steps in data collection, data gathering, just cleaning up the data. Actually, data cleaning alone, is a whole issue on its own. You know, so we are doing a lot of work there, and we can't wait to share what we have with everybody.
Someone on WhatsApp says what they need as a voter, the data that they need as a voter that they want access to, is a list of at least 10 APC failed promises.
Okay. I think we have a bit more than 10.
You have a bit more than 10. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We've got this message here. Sadly for Nigerians, politics starts at the top, the presidency. I'm glad Mr. Steers, our guest in the studio, mentioned that local community schools, streets we live on, all belong to the local politicians. We need to know more about our local councillors, reps, senators, etc. Hold them accountable for non-performances, because at the end of the day, they are senior public servants paid very high salaries. I hope his site will give us the information we need to make the right decisions come voting day. This is your friendly neighbor. Okay. I am underscore Oludo. Okay. I don't think I have a neighbor called Oludo Shao, but okay. We've got Bao from Ikorodu who says, first of all, what's the name of the app? It's not an app. It's a website, yes?
Yes, it's a website that, you know, that is basically mobile first. So it's 2023elections.ng. 2023elections.ng. It's
not 2023elections.ng. So just go to your browser and type in 2023elections.ng.
And then it just comes out there.
And it comes out there. Okay. Yeah. Secondly, I'm not so much concerned about who wins elections. I'm more concerned on the connectivity of the voters per area to organize and put pressure on their closest government rep. So I'll suggest that in subsequent versions of the app, people can register their profile on the app according to an area where they will be able, where they'll be added to a Telegram group of that area, where updates on allocations, bill considerations, town halls will be communicated. It'll be like a social space for registered members of a local government area or ward to meet and discuss and be informed on governance issues from ward to local government to state and national assembly, and how they affect change. This is such a great suggestion from Bao.
It is. It is, and there are, I think there are a couple of things like that. that do that already.
Yeah.
So those things are important. So I know there's one in particular that just focuses on just projects, and if the projects even get done in the first place.
Or not, yes.
Yeah, so, and people do a lot of work, mm-hmm. a lot of work goes into that thing, hitting the road.
The places, putting the pictures out online, and so on and so forth.
And there's just a lot. Mm-hmm. And I just think that, you know, the national anthem talks about the labors of our heroes past. Frankly, many of these people that do these things are heroes in the present, and I just hope that eventually they get the country that they want to get by their efforts, because the work they're doing is quite extraordinary, to be honest.
We've got this message here. If political parties have equal access to registered voters, example phone and address, then even the smallest elections can win, smallest parties can win elections by applying technology.
So the issue with that is, he's talking about voter file. Right. I don't know that. So elsewhere, voter files are public.
Yes, they are.
So they are public.
They are.
But not in Nigeria.
Some people say that it is. I saw information somewhere, but I didn't follow up and I didn't confirm. They claim that, you know, voter information is pretty public.
It's not that kind of public.
I see.
It's available, but it's, you know, the cost of that is, you know, a bit up in the sky.
I see. So it's not available to the average politician.
Not to political party. Not to my knowledge, no. Mm. Because typically it should be public to people who want to run for elections and so on, but I don't think that's the case right now.
Okay, I'm running a quick Google search to make sure that you know, we are both right, so that we're not misinforming people. Okay, so yeah, so you know, we're both right. Yay.
Yeah.
Contact data is not public legally. Okay.
No, it's not.
We've got a message here from Femi in Dallas, Texas. Femi says, can't we just fix the Nigerian system once and for all in terms of having a database to identify every eligible voter? A valid driver's license that is traceable to the national database would have fixed this problem. I'm not surprised that a country where people give birth in churches and bushes won't have effective information that could save them all of this stress of cleaning voter registers during elections.
Well, he has a point, because the NIN, the total number of Nigerians registered by the NIN right now is about 90 million. The voter registration is 93 point something million. I think that we are now at the point where, frankly, the NIN should take over from the INEC register, in my view. In my view, yes. And that's
but if we have NIN at 93 million and voter, 90 million and voter register is 93 million, and you know, number of bank accounts available also low, BVNs available also low, are we really 200 plus million?
So it's a tough question, but there are a number of proxies.
And it's also off topic and off point.
Yeah, it's a little bit off topic. I think, but just very quickly, because because we're kind of short on time.
Yeah.
There are some proxies that people use to estimate the number of adults in the country. So when you use the number of adults, you then use that now to estimate, using the number of children, you can combine that together and come up with a figure. And one of the ways I have seen is when people use the number of active phone lines. As a proxy for number of adults, and then using the known dependency ratio, how many children to how many, and then just the population structure of the country, the current estimate that I have seen is actually about 215 million or so.
So yeah, 25.
So that is one proxy that I have seen.
But I have four phone lines.
Yes, but you are on the high end there. The average.
I have an uncle that has seven, and he's a bus driver.
The average person has one person to 1.3 phone lines. I have just two.
Okay, just two. Two is just.
Yeah, two is just.
Okay, but back to the conversation we're having, right? Promise Inaja says, no, this is not an INEC official. He's not an INEC official, Ejo.
Ah, no.
He's from Steers. Steers is a data organization doing big things in the data industry. Now, Joachim, in collecting all this data for the product, for the election product, you must have noticed some macro and micro trends in this campaign season that could affect the election. What were they?
Yeah, so very quickly, we are still seeing low participation by women and youth in elective positions. So that is still an issue. We are still seeing the high number of legislators who lose their seats every 4 years. So basically, there's a lot of turnover there. Basically, now, only about, actually, Nigeria averages 70% of lawmakers at federal level don't return every year. 70%. That's a lot. So already, as we are now, we've lost 40% of House of Reps and about 50% or more than 50% of senators are not going to return at all. So they won't even be on the ballot. So then they will now contest elections. Some of them are going to
But that can be good for legislation.
No, it's not. It's not, because what happens is you lose a lot of, you lose plenty of institutional
experience,
memory and experience and so on. And you lose many good people along the way there. So that is the issue. And so like eventually
I don't
we'll
think
find
we're
a balance
mature
there.
Enough for that conversation yet.
Yeah.
As a democracy, as a political animal.
Yeah, but I think that is something that we should keep at the back of our respective minds, because it actually influences plenty of the things that we see with regard to lawmaking. Another of those trends is governors going to retire to the Senate. It's still increasing. So in this current Senate, there are 14 governors who were there, and now we have 10 current governors who want to enter the Senate. And that is going to be an issue, because they are also unseating senators from their own party, and then of course from other parties when they are going to contest. So it's like so they work on both sides. So they work in the primary to remove the person that is currently there, and then they are going to fight
whoever the opposition
somebody
is.
Who may be the incumbent and who must also lose his seat. And I think that if you think that Nigerian governors don't do well, then it means that their influx into the Senate is likely a bad idea.
Joachim, thank you so much for talking to us on Hard Facts today. Lagos,
thank
that's all the time
me,
we have. I wish we had more, but we don't. Tomorrow at 3, let's take you to the global stage and see what's happening in the world of global politics, global economy, global everything else. I'm S. Ezekwesili on social media. Don't go away.